Yes, we all have heard that expression. I don't want to play second fiddle to anybody. When I played ball for CMR, I sat on the bench my junior year, and I didn't like it. Have you ever sat on the bench, athletes, or in anything and not like it? I didn't like it. The only thing that allowed me, that I allowed it to happen, is both the boys that started ahead of me were All-State. So in order to get off the bench, I had to be an All-State player, which I was not when I was a junior. And I had to sit there, and I knew they were both better than me. Well, that's a different dynamic. When you know they're both better than you. And then when I was a senior, I was better. And out of a school of 2,000 people, there's only five. I don't know, football is 11, huh? In basketball, I know in track it's one, but in basketball, in wrestling it's one, it's five. And I was a starter because I was better than the others. And occasionally the coach would have me sit. And I didn't like that. Because I had been pushing myself since forever to be good, to be the best. And when I was a player in high school anyhow, when the game is over, you try not to look like you're interested in how many points you scored, but you kind of walk by the score and say, and how many did I have? And then you end up having kids in the stands who kept track of it, and they would, like this. Being asked to sit when you're better is quite the deal. Thank you for playing, for allowing me to go this route. Playing second fiddle is the less glamorous role. That's how the dictionary defines it. If you're put in a second fiddle position, you're in the less glamorous. That means what? Somebody else is in the glamorous role. Someone else is getting the attention. Someone else is getting the title. Someone else is making the decision, and you are a helper. Whew. The simple message, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. God has called us all, believers, to practice playing second fiddle. Every one of us. Every one of us. You may have your time at first chair, but I guarantee you, God will call you to a time when He wants you to be able to be on the bench and be okay with it. To be fond of being second fiddle. That's the subtitle. Be fond of not being in the glamorous role. The first role. Do we understand in music and in all of life, really there can only be one cleanup hitter at a time? There may be less or more hits if you put two men at the plate at one time batting. I don't know. But you can't. Somebody has to be identified as a cleanup hitter. That's nothing to sneeze at, Joyce. Verse number 10. Romans 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What happens when we become a Christian? We enter salvation, I don't see that word salvation up there, but it's supposed to be.
In the world of salvation, we enter the house. We're saved. And we... Okay. We enter the house of salvation out of safety. You may not have heard all of the, if you don't receive the Lord, you may go to hell sermons. I have. How many of you have heard a few of those?
Yes.
How many of you needed to hear a few of those? I've heard them all, it seems. And I believe the Bible, and I believe they're true sermons. That if the blood, Exodus chapter 11, if the blood is not put on the doorpost of our life, not just anyone's blood, only blood can be is Christ's blood.
Amen.
If the blood does not over our life, then we are in total danger and complete danger that when we die, we will not spend eternity in heaven. That's all. That's a fact. That's the way it is. And so, in the Old Testament, they had the blood put around the door to signify when the death angel came through that my family has come in. We put this around our house. We are inside and we are covered by the blood. And we are safe here.
Amen.
So we enter that through salvation. And come into, this is to a degree what Joe was saying last week, we come into a born-again experience, into the kingdom, we're inside the house, and we're waiting for the storm to pass. Really. The death angel is out there, we've come in through faith, we're waiting for the storm to pass, and somebody come, and when we come in, we find out we're not in the house alone. The Holy Spirit's in there. Hello. How are you doing today? Well, I'm fine. So happy that you came inside and you're going to live eternally. Well, thank you. I am happy too. I was a little worried about that. And then, whether we expect it or not, the Holy Spirit says and comes to us and says, so, while you're in here, let's talk. You mean we don't just enter the house out of safety? Well, that might have been why we entered salvation. For many it is. But when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your life, even though we may be waiting for the rapture, we may be waiting for whatever, the next world, the next life, while we are waiting, the Holy Spirit begins to talk to us about our life in this life. He begins to knock on our heart and starts to work on our nature. Our first nature is self-serving. Sorry, there are some people who are, I know, that aren't very self-serving, but most of us, because of the Adamic nature we inherited, we're really self-serving. We really work hard at putting ourselves first. Oh, but you don't know that I'm doing it. Yes, we do. I love photo op people that project like they're really caring for something, and to a degree, in a minor degree, they are, but they're really caring for themselves. Making sure everybody knows, and everybody sees, and everybody hears. Putting themselves first in a very clever way. It is the nature of a point guard to want to play. It is the nature of a musician to want to be the best. It's the nature of all of us to put ourselves first. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. It's our nature. Then we receive Christ. And some preachers say, well, then all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Not quite that fast. Positionally, you're safe, as Joe would say, but conditionally, you have a few issues. This side over here has the issues, right? Positionally, you're safe. Conditionally, we have a few issues.
Amen.
There, is that better?
Hello, Mom.
And the Holy Spirit, he that began a good work in us, he does not get discouraged. He does not quit. He does not let go. He is a part of it. He's after us to cause us to be Christ-like in our nature. And so we say, well, they're a Christian and they do this. Well, they're a Christian by nothing that they didn't get this by audition. They didn't appeal to God and say, well, okay, am I good enough? You're in. You got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ alone and your faith. So you still have a few issues in your life. And so do I. And the Holy Spirit comes to work at us, and to give us a second nature. A nature that we didn't inherit from Mom and Dad. Well, he's just like his mom. Well, he's just like his dad. Well, that family, they're always this way. This, that, and the other thing. Those wrestlers, they're all cheaters. That's what she says. We're not cheaters. Not always. The Holy Spirit is at work in your spirit to give you a second nature. If you're afraid, if you're a person who's afraid of everything, the Holy Spirit is at work at you to give you confidence and courage. You didn't get it from the Wizard of Oz, you got it from our wonderful Lord. If you are self-serving and everything is about you and everything is for you, kids call it the I, or I know somebody who calls it the I person. The Holy Spirit isn't going to toss you out for that. He's going to go to work on you to change your life. And so when the Bible, all these Christians come together and the churches started forming and new things were happening. At first, euphoria. Remember that last week they were going to sell everything they had and live together in a commune? Remember we were going to do that last week?
Yes.
You missed that, like I said. We were going to sell everything and join a commune. Well, we've moved on from that, and everybody said, yeah. But how in the world are we going to live together as Christians? How are we going to relate together as Christians? Because this self-serving nature still goes on within us. So we have to say, Lord Jesus, change me from the inside by your Spirit. I really am this way, Lord. The Bible says we don't even know our own heart. Have you ever done something or said something and you don't even know why you did? But when you sit yourself down, you say, why did I say that? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And our heart is not always together. Why do I do that? Why do I say that? Why do I feel these things? The Living Bible says, don't just say you love one another. It says, don't pretend. It says, really love one another. At least those who are like you. Those who dress like you. Those who smell like you. Those who look like you. What a task. Everyone who comes in this house and who's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are to love, not pretend with Jesus talk, big handshakes, smiles, and there's nothing wrong with that if the heart is right. You can learn Christianese like everybody else. You can learn the Jesus words. And that doesn't fool the Holy Spirit inside. He's not, he knows what you're doing. He's saying, okay, now let's go beyond, let's come to real brotherly love. My brother sat with me last week, undoubtedly is watching now. And Just a different thing. I was with him a couple days ago. Just a different thing to be with your brother and sister. You say, well, it isn't in my family. Okay. But it should be. Something is built into family, a normal, healthy family, that there should be a love within that family, one for another.
Amen.
It's, you shouldn't have to work at it. It should be there. And I thought about this. The word here in the Greek is, don't just love them like kumbaya. Love them as a brother or a sister. And though you're surrounded by many, many, many people, when you come in contact with your own family, it's supposed to be different. The way God designed the family. And so God says, love only your family. No, he didn't say that. They're so tight, they're a tight family. He doesn't say that. For some people, they have no family. You are their family.
That's right.
Just about is. For some people, you are their family. And Jesus' talk and feigned affection and photo ops is not what the people need. What the Bible suggests here is they need brotherly love. How did you get that brotherly love? My brother and I are quite different. And he's grateful for that. You're going to say that. I believe my brother was born, I was 5 years old. They hold this little guy, and I'm holding him, and parts of his come apart on me. I thought, help, help! It was just a thing that they brought home. But when I saw the affection my mother had for this thing, and I saw the affection my father, although my father was kind of, quiet with his affection. Shut that baby up. That meant he loved him. When I was 5 years old and I saw how they loved him, it transferred to me so that I loved my brother. Our love for the brothers and sisters of the fellowship come because we know the Heavenly Father loved them. And his love for them and our elder brother who went to Calvary's tree, whose blood is upon the doorpost, we see their love for each other, for the humanity, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, in salvation, our hearts begin to develop a genuine love that surpasses being part of a group or a club, a sorority. Oh, you don't know ours? I know it. There is nothing stronger than the love of God.
Amen.
For humanity. Nothing. And there ought not to be anything stronger in our hearts for brothers and sisters. Those that attend our fellowship, and those that have the nerve to have a fellowship a few blocks away.
Amen.
Or a few miles away.
Right.
Strangely enough, we don't all agree on everything that's written here. We're working on it, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're working on coming to the... And in the meantime, we're in the house together. We need to have something to some cushion so we can make room for other people who may disagree with us but are still our brothers.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
So when we walk by them, we don't have to walk like this. Oh, I know it all about Great Falls. I'm learning a little bit about Belton. How many churches? 60-some churches in Great Falls? Between Pastor Joe and I and Renee and the Huffmans, we've been to about all of them, haven't we? And those that we haven't, the Nesbitts have been there.
You too, Pat. You snuck in. I have to pray, God, give me a love for some of these Christians I can't hardly stand. Am I losing this? I have to pray, God, touch my heart. Where is this? Touch my heart and give me a love for some Christians I cannot hardly stand to be in the same room with. You have those feelings? I do. Have we taken an offering? We did. as the crowd raised. Oh, and you have them too. So we have a choice to make. Do we keep those with our old nature, or do we give that up? Say, Lord, do a work in my heart. Do a work in my heart, God, but don't make me be second fiddle. You ever prayed those conditional prayers with God? Okay, I want you to do this, God, but you know how sensitive I am. You know how things upset me. Don't make me be second fiddle. I rode my brother up Miracle Mile on 29th Street there, the Dairy Queen. 1960, probably year 59. We had one bike, and he was on the back. He was, I don't know how old I was. He was probably 5 years old or whatever, and I'm driving, riding like crazy, up, up, up. We're going to the Dairy Queen, going to the Dairy Queen. He says, slow down, you're going too fast. You probably heard me tell the story, too bad. Slow down, you're going too fast. And I kind of like that feeling of fear in him. I am. We were going uphill, and I was rocketing uphill from Fifth Avenue South up to the Dairy Queen, same Dairy Queen. You're going too fast. I liked the feeling I got. Unfortunately, I liked it so much I kept going, and I had an accident, a wreck on the bike right by the park there, Lions Park. Crash! That's all I know, and I went rolling. My brother's leg was caught in the spokes and broke and mangled. And I, of course, horrified. I'll never forget this. John, you know what I did? I went to the Dairy Queen, around to the front of the Dairy Queen, my brother screaming, hollering. I went to the front and stood in line. What I did, there was a line to the Dairy Queen for the ice cream. I went and stood in line and waited for my turn. Finally got there and I said, my brothers, please help. And the Dairy Queen workers ran out there, and by that time the baseball players had come across with the bats and took his leg out. He went off to the hospital. And everybody said, yeah, there was a car that drove by and scared that poor Mark. And I said, that must have been it. And it took me many, 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 many years to tell my brother over long distance. No, it was my doing. I wasn't sure how much I cared for that little bugger until I saw him there. I had made a mistake. I had been careless. And I had hurt my brother, and he paid for my carelessness. Have we ever been careless with our words, actions, attitudes, and somebody else pays the price? And Paul says, love. Let your love be genuine. Let it be like your brother, sister. And then the message you were supposed to get comes next. Don't stop the zeal for honoring one another.
honor one another, prefer one another. The prefer there means prefer them not. I prefer a man with a tie. I prefer a man with not a tie. It means prefer them over yourself. Practice honoring one another. The verb that there actually means, it's the only time it shows up in the New Testament, it means you go and you go before someone and you lead them. You lead them into a situation where they can be honored by somebody else. That's what it means. It means you go to someone and you say, I just want to talk for a minute. And you lead them into a situation where others are going to honor them. That's what it means. You, and one version says, you take turns, or you rotate it, or it's lost in translation there, but you take turns taking the lead of honoring one another. Oh, I was with you until you said that. How many of you were all ready to be honored, and honored, and honored, and honored? Some of us really be honored well, don't we? We get honored real well. We can be cool about it. Thank you very much. The Bible says and suggests that we take turns honoring and being honored. Scripture says, outdo one another in your desire to honor one another. Back last week, Pastor Joe was talking about in marriage relationships. And even if you're not married, if you're in just a relationship, you cannot go wrong honoring one another. Outdo one another. Take the initiative to honor one another. At a time when the Adamic nature in us wants to put ourselves first, the Spirit of the living God says, put yourself second. Well, I would honor them if I could just think of something that they do. Well, you can think of something they do. I would if I thought they deserved it. Can I tell you, they deserve it because of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
There is no excuse. Honor one another in brotherly love. Give honor to one another. I wanted to share, and I will close by this, Renee. Come and help me, Renee. I wanted to talk about Jacob. Maybe I'll come back in a couple weeks and talk about Jacob and Esau and Rebekah and Isaac. Rebekah's pregnant. There's all kinds of issues going on. She said, what's going on? Well, there's two nations that are wrestling within you. And the babies are born. And the first one is born, the Bible suggests, he's all red and hairy. He's all red and hairy. And the second one is born hanging on. It doesn't say this, but I'm saying it. It says he's hanging on. I'm saying he wanted to be first. Oh.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that, but that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going. You're not going anywhere. I'm hanging on. I should have been first. The birthright, twice as much. I should have been first. And the second one is born smooth. Not bald, but well, smooth. And the second one that was born deceiver. And his every effort was to take away from his brother. The Bible says, this father who loved meat, loved Esau out in the field. He even liked to smell his clothes. That smells good. That smells like the field. And he was Esau's favorite. Isaac's favorite. And the mother's favorite was Jacob. He was smooth. Esau was in the field and Jacob hung around the tents. Some years old, the father decides to bless. He says, Esau, go shoot something, kill it. I want to eat, then I'm going to bless you. And the Bible says that Rebekah was listening. She heard him say that. She said to her son, this is our chance. This is your chance. This is your chance to reverse the order. Go get a couple goats, kill them. We'll cook them. I'll do it just the way I know he likes it. Jacob says, yes, but if he touches me, he's going to know. He's going to know I'm not him. Wonderful, wonderful story of Jacob. Esau goes out, kills, comes back, he's a day late and a dollar short. The blessing's already been given. And he's mad. First he sold his birthright, now his blessing. To a deceiver, to a tricker, to someone instead of who gave to his brother, took away from his brother. Because he wanted his brother's position. I am going to stop with this, but I just have to get to this point because I just love it. Jacob has to take off. His mother said, oh, well, we've done it now. He said, I did what you said. He said, your brother's going to kill you. Run, hide. And he goes and takes off, has all kinds of adventures, becomes the father of all kinds of children. And eventually, you know the story, he needed to go back and face Esau. The message for us today, we're in a position to bless our brother and sister daily, without stop. When the enemy, when the self-serving spirit comes to us to hurt our brother, we must resist it in Jesus' name. Amen. We must rebuke it from the soulless pit that it comes from. We must honor our brothers and sisters. We must learn to be fond of not being in the glamorous spot, of being the leader, of being the chosen one. Because that's the nature of our Heavenly Father. As He puts it in our spirit and changes us. And Jacob looks up and here comes his brother, madder than a wet hen, a red wet hen, by now. 400 men with him. Jacob says, it's caught up to me. My deception has caught up to me. He starts sending everything forward. Tell him, hey, what are we doing? He said, tell him your gifts to him. We're what? Your gifts. Go on up there, go on. Esau, his brother, runs closer and closer and closer. It doesn't say they were on horses, but they had to be, because of my fear of horses. When Esau got close enough, he saw his brother. He
He ran towards his brother. And Jacob braced himself. All of his deception, all of his self-serving was coming home to roost. He braced himself as his brother got closer. He deserved to be killed on sight. He was the bad guy. He had taken everything from his older brother. The Bible says his brother ran to him. I can see Jacob closing his eyes like I do at the dentist. And Esau, who had everything taken from him, initially, he wrapped his arm around his brother, younger brother. And they wept, the Bible said. They wept together. Why? Didn't he do all of these things? Yes, he did. Didn't he deserve this? Yes, he did. But he was his what? Brother! That's the punchline. It didn't happen because he was his brother. That's different than being part of a religion. That's different than being part of the Rotary. God bless you, I was too. There is a love from the Heavenly Father for one another. Keep playing, Renee, that's great. Esau said, What's with all this stuff? He said, What's all this stuff you sent me? What is all this stuff? He said, I gave them to you, brother, in so many words, because I know I've done bad. And this word, where'd it go? Right here. Woo-hoo, you got it, okay. Plenty. Plenty. This is the second punchline. Plenty. The brother said, what are you giving me stuff for? And the Bible reads this way. He says, I've got plenty. And Jacob says, I'm giving it to you because I've got plenty. You mean to say we both got plenty? Do you mean to say we all have plenty? Amen.
Amen.
Because Christ is our Savior. Because our Heavenly Father loves us. Because we're in the body of Christ as brothers. We all have plenty. We are not in need, Pastor Joe. There are plenty of people to fill up Geyser, Basin, Church, whatever. There are plenty of people to fill up Highwood. There are plenty. Oh, I'm the only prophet left. The Bible says there were 7,000 in the caves. This is the message for us. There's plenty in the Spirit, in the living God. There's plenty. And tonight when we come together as Esau and Jacob and Isaac. There's plenty, brothers and sisters. There's plenty of honor, plenty of positions, plenty of jobs to do. Our self-serving spirit has become the spirit of the Savior. That's our prayer. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. At first he was overwhelmed, and the Bible says now his name is such that he overcame. Ever felt overwhelmed? Well, I have. We want our name changed too. Amen? We want our name changed. Beautiful song. I Surrender All. Do you remember that song? Stand With Me. I don't know if anybody knows this song besides me and her.
I will ever love and trust Him.
I pray the Spirit of the living God descend on this building.
Yes.
I pray the Spirit of the living God continue to do a work in my heart.
Yes, Father.
Give me, dear Lord, by your process and by your Spirit, the Spirit of the Savior, the Spirit of a servant.
Yes.
May this self-serving spirit that I was born with be set outside of my life. In Jesus' name I pray.